and welcome to the Virtual Cafe. I'm your host, Shagulola Salami. Who have I got here today?
Felicia Denise.
Hi, Felicia.
Hi.
Good, are you going to say something?
My name is Felicia Reavers, actually, but my pen name is Felicia Denise. That's what I'm publishing under my first book I just published, In the Best Interest of the Child, Women's Fiction Psychological Drama. You can find it on Amazon.
Oh, cool. So what's your book about?
My book is about Olivia Chandler, who is a 30-something child advocate attorney who lived through a traumatized childhood when her father was killed in a car accident and she was put into foster care. And she went through child abuse, child neglect, child endangerment. And she has abandonment issues and trust issues because although her mother survived the accident, her mother sustained mental issues. Because she thinks she didn't love her enough to be there for her. And so now, So now Olivia has been appointed a new case by the court that hauntingly looks like hers. And in order for her to help her latest client, 11-year-old Rena, she's got to come to grips with what happened to her 30 years ago.
Wow. Wow. See, now, actually, it's quite timely having you on the show. Actually, you know what? I forget my manners. What would you like to drink today?
Just coffee, two sugars.
Two sugars, no milk, no cream, nothing?
Nope.
That's fine. And what would you like to have with your coffee?
Ooh, a bear claw.
What?
A bear claw.
What is that?
It's a donut.
Hello.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Hi, Alan.
Hello.
Hi, Alan. How are you? Can you hear us?
Yeah, you're having to make do with an iPhone.
No, that's fine.
Anyway, so the IT people, they've got to do some work on this. We've got these virtual firewall settings, but, you know, anyway, so sorry about that.
No, that's fine. You caught us in at a very amusing moment. So Felicia, she was trying to place an order, you know, with the virtual cafe, and she goes, "Beer, what did you call this again?"
A bear claw.
Yes, and I'm like, see, I've never heard that before. And you see, that's a fancy American term for donuts.
Anyway, nice to meet you all on such an hilarious note.
Well, nice to meet you too as well. So do you want to give
Hi, Alan.
Do you want to have your 15 seconds of fame and tell us about you, Alan?
Okay, well, here I am in my office in London. It's raining, it's dark. So it's a real wintry day. Anyway, so it's actually a pleasure to join you guys and have a talk. Obviously, it's a very interesting subject, albeit a very tragic one, but it's very important that we do talk about it because that's the only way that we can change things in the future.
Yes, yes. So what do you do?
Well, I'm a lawyer and I specialise in representing people who've been sexually abused primarily as children and as young people. So I represent people here in the UK, but also overseas. So next week I'm off to Australia to see some clients and do some work in Australia. And then in December it's the States. So I go wherever the work takes me.
Oh, interesting, interesting. Okay, what would you like to drink? See, it's a virtual cafe. So be as imaginative as you can. I've heard loads of different things before, so I might just act a bit silly and think, what is that? But please do go ahead with it. Place whatever you would like to drink.
Well, I would like to drink a nice dark coffee, but I haven't got one.
Okay, dark coffee. So is that like coffee, no sugar, no milk?
Yeah.
Okay, any sugar?
Exactly. No sugar.
Ah, okay. So you and Felicia are quite similar. She only wants two sugars in hers, but no milk, and you want no sugar, no milk. Okay, that's perfect. The little human, she's got her hands full at the moment. So she'll get around to it in a second. I hope you guys are not in a hurry for your orders.
Oh, no.
No, okay. Alan, what would you like to have with your coffee?
Well, I'd like to have my coffee on a day like this, some milk chocolate.
Some milk chocolate. Ah, okay. Well, that's yours quite easy because the little human is turning two in about 2 weeks' time. And I'm like super, super excited. I swear to God, with the way I'm so excited, you would think it was my own birthday that's coming up very soon. Right? So I've got loads of different chocolates because I am going to attempt something that I have never attempted before, right? And I'm thinking of making a piñata cake. But instead of a regular piñata, right, where you have sweeties and Mars and all those funky things in it, I'm going to use molten chocolate.
Wow.
So once you just cut the slice of cake, the chocolate just drizzles out. Well, the question now is, can I pull it off or not? Because if I'm thinking, I know, because I'm thinking, how do I get it so that the cake does not become soggy?
Exactly.
But we'll watch this page. So I've got loads of chocolate and I've got milk chocolate as well. So you will get some milk chocolate today.
Well, I want some of the cake.
Sorry?
I said your cooking and recipes are way above my pay grade, so I'll let you get on with that.
No, it's just because I get food channel on Facebook groups, so I get to see different things. But the inspiration for this piñata cake, right? So I don't normally watch TV, and one day, because I have the apps on my TV to watch YouTube stuff. So one day when I turned it on, I saw Great British Bake Off, and I thought, you know what, I haven't watched this in ages. And so I thought I was just going to watch it. And the winner, don't even ask me her name, she did a piñata cake, but she didn't use molten chocolate, she used cream. So I thought, that's inspiring.
And the cake wasn't soggy.
It wasn't at all, and she was the winner.
Wow, interesting.
Yes, very interesting. But yeah, so we'll get the little human once she finishes what she's doing to get your orders together. Right, okay, I'm actually quite pleased I have both of you on the show today because, you know, winter's here in the UK, and you know, everybody has, you know, seasonal effect. Well, not everybody, but you know, they say that, you know, the holiday season is time that loads of people get depressed and people have, you know, they get lonely, moody, you know, there's an increase in seasonal affective disorder and loads of different things. And funny enough, right, I've had a person who I know personally, you know, said to me, you know, in the course of having a discussion, that they've been abused as children. And, you know, sometimes when something has happened, you know, the first time, you know, that someone ever told me this, you know, I was in my 20s, and I didn't really think much, because I'm like, you know, 20s, I think when you're in your 20s, you're quite stupid. Well, I thought I was quite stupid, because the person told me, I was like, oh, okay, I'm sorry to hear about it, but I just didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do, because the deed has happened, but like, okay, I can sympathize with you, but I felt, I didn't know even know what to think. And then, you know, somebody else then said something else to me again, you know, in that regard. And I'm like, and this was really, really horrible thing to have ever crossed my mind, right? And this is me, you know, and this is me. And everyone else like, why, in my mind, and God knows I did not say this out loud, in my mind I was like, why are you telling me this? Because I felt helpless. Like, how do I know what to do? Like, I'm in my 20s, I've just left university, right? I'm clueless, I'm trying to find my feet in life, right? And I'm so in my head I'm like, why are you telling me this? Obviously I didn't do that, I didn't say that out loud, it was just in my head. And then another person said, you know, it's like, girl that I know, you know, she was like, oh yeah, she was raped. And then someone goes, oh yes, you know, that her dad's, you know, and it was just, and the last time that I had it, I was like, you know what? Enough now. This is enough. I need to do something. I don't know what I can do, but I'm sure there are loads of people who are in exactly the same position as me, who people, you know, that trust them have confided in them, but then they're quite at a loss of what to do.
Yes. And it takes, you know, it takes a lot to make that admission.
Yes. You know, and then again, sometimes when you hear it, there's that shock, and then there is that time where you need to process everything that, you know, you've heard. Because again, a lot of times I think, and I am not an expert, that, you know, you might be thinking, yes, these things happen, but you don't really know. You never think it's going to happen to someone you know, or you don't think it's ever going to, you know, happen to you. So I just thought, you know what, I've got the show, I've got all these amazing people who come on the show, and you know, I'm quite fortunate that the both of you chose to come on the show today, so maybe you can give some light, you know, into the subject matter. So, you know, what exactly is child abuse, and how can someone, a parent, an adult, a teacher, a carer, you know, how can they identify a child who's been abused? Because something that I've read, or something that somebody told me, somehow I heard about it, is that it's only when a child is in their, is much older, say in their 20s, that they realize that what's happened to them is actually child abuse, but then they don't realize at the time.
That's not right. So there's no question there that you've asked. Children know what is wrong and what is unpleasant and what is painful and all the rest of it. Don't say that glibly, but I'm just putting it in very simple terms.
Of course.
The problem is that adults don't listen to children.
Right.
Don't notice.
And you're not always going to recognize it, because until the child realizes what's going on, there is a lot of shame involved. And some of the best actors on the planet are children. And they may hide it out of shame. They may hide it out of
sorry?
They may hide it out of, they're trying to protect the adult who's doing the abuse.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So you may not recognize it, and they may not recognize, they may, you know, pull it inside and internalize it and block it for years and years. So you can't just look at a child and say, oh my God, that child's abused. It's never going to be that easy.
No, but you'd agree with me that adults often miss the signs of a child being abused. Because
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, they do. We're so quick to wave things off when children are involved, because children grow through stages and phases, and we're just so quickly to think, oh, they're just going through something right now, and not really pay attention.
True.
I see lots of cases where the person as an adult would have said as a child, as a result of what was happening to them, trouble at school. No one was really saying to me, the child, why are you behaving like this? What's wrong? This isn't like you. So there were possibly opportunities in that child's life for an adult to have sat down with that child. But those opportunities are missed, and that is why it's so important that we listen to victims and survivors to learn about. Because we're all capable of putting on blinkers and turning a deaf ear, so to speak, and to miss what children are trying to tell us, even if they are.
Yes.
If they are forgetting what's happening in their lives.
Okay, so I know that you said that, you know, adults, you know, can miss the signs, but typically what sort of, like, an average person, what sort of signs can they look out for, or what would be a giveaway sign?
The kids withdraw. You know, kids are usually rambunctious and active and talkative. And all of a sudden, if that child becomes withdrawn and quiet and keeping to themselves, that's a sure sign right there.
Yeah, that's right. Or, as I said, in the example I just gave, a child that is well behaved at school and at home starts to behave out of character. They start
exactly.
They start to skip school and lessons and play up in the lessons and play up at home, and they might get depressive.
Interesting.
You know, with my experience with working in childcare, we had children as young as 3 and 4 who were being sexually suggestive. Because it was being done to them. They were reenacting what was being done to them in daycare.
Yeah. So what would the nursery staff or the daycare staff do in such a situation?
Now, let me tell you, this was a couple of decades ago before, you know, people were really trying to help with child abuse. And this particular little girl was 4 years old. She had Down syndrome and she was with her aunt and uncle. And I reported what I had seen. Another employee reported what they had saw. The director took it to the board and nothing was done.
Oh dear.
They blamed her Down syndrome.
Really?
Yes. And this is 20, like I said, this is 20 years ago, but they blamed her Down syndrome.
Interesting.
And what do you get? Lots of cases like that. That's, you know, that's a frightening example, of course. And of course, the abuse of young people with disabilities, communication problems, and so on, is still a real issue in 2016. These are very vulnerable young people. You know, it would be naive to think that in spite of education and changes over the last decade or so, that the risk has minimized. Far from it. We are still seeing shocking examples of young people with disabilities so on, and difficulties, who are particularly vulnerable, and that vulnerability being exploited.
Exactly.
An example of something that someone said to me once, she said that, you know, once she was at home and she was around, you don't know, maybe 11 to 13, something like that. I don't know, 11, 12, 12, 13, something like that. She was sitting at home. Everybody else, you know, like when you're in a house, you know, everybody else is doing their own thing. But then she was sitting down in the living room. And then someone came visiting, and you know, like when you see a little chubby kid, you then go, oh, hello. And, you know, you sort of pull on the child's, you know, cheeks and go, it's like, oh, you're so chubby and hello. And you try to tickle the child, and the person, this adult, grown adult male, his hand downwards to her boobs, right? And she's trying to get away, right? But then he just kept, and then it was the whole jovial, look at you, you're so chubby. It's like, oh, you're eating so much. And that was going on. And so when I was having this conversation with this person, she was like, she didn't even know how to tell anybody because it was a very shameful thing. She was like, how does she even tell anyone that this was what happened? She didn't even know what to do. What do you guys think? Like, because it's just so, like, they're just, these predators, they're just, it's just, you know, it's like when you're having a migraine just thinking about it. It's like, I don't even know what to say because there's just so many different ways. Because, like, I'm Nigerian, right? I'm Nigerian Brit. But in Nigeria, there's this saying, right? It's usually in Yoruba, but I'm going to try and say it in English, right? That the worm that eats a leaf is on the leaf. Which basically translates that the people who cause us the most harm are the people who are close to us. Right? And
exactly.
I've read, you know, that most of the time, the people who do abuse are people that are known to the family, you know, in a very close way. So, you know, if someone, you know, who's living with you or who's close to your family, then, you know, how can you then sort of, I think that sometimes that's why some children are reluctant to say anything. Because how can they, you know, they think they will be looked at as lying because this is someone who is close to the family. Or sometimes, you know, the parents might think that they're being naughty because they don't want to go to someone who is supposed to be quote unquote their carer.
Exactly. It's part of society. It's part of the culture that, and that's how these predators get away with it. you know, and parents will say, they're just fond of you, you know, or they just really like you, or why are you thinking like that? You know, and parents aren't paying attention when children are trying to tell them. You know, but it's easier to deny and, you know, think, well, it was only that one time. But unfortunately, I know women, you know, they're in their 30s and 40s now. It's happened to them repeatedly because predators can spot the easy marks. They can spot the timid type, the meek type. They can spot them, and that's who they zone in on.
So, okay. Right. Now, okay. So, to help parents or guardians or carers or anyone listening to, you know, to the show, so identify, because I think today, you know, I thought it would be quite good to help us know what, you know, what child abuse is and, you know, how to recognize it. And then I'm hoping next week, you know, we can look at how to get justice. So you guys have said some really, you know, important thing is that, you know, one of the signs and symptoms is that the children are acting out of character, you know, be it at school, be it at home, and they're doing, you know, things that they would not normally do. But then what else can a parent do, or what can a parent do to help a child to speak up, and how can a parent also identify or suspect, or some, what would be another trigger point for them to make the parent want to actually sit up and know what to do?
Parents need to talk to their children. They shouldn't wait until something happens. When your child is 2 years old, talk to her now.
Yeah.
Let her, you know, good touch, bad touch. You know, and no one is allowed to touch you. And if someone does a bad touch, you tell me. Never be ashamed. Never be embarrassed. Never be afraid. Parents need to talk to their children.
Yeah. Okay. Alan, so from your professional, you know, experience, you know, what have been the signs that, you know, parents have noticed that you've seen that, you know, that has helped, you know, a parent identify that something's going on?
Well, it's the message that comes through loud and clear is there have been opportunities for the child to have been listened to. And what survivors talk about is not being... That is a big message that comes through. And of course, a lot of children who are abused are already in a vulnerable situation anyway. And so they don't necessarily claim opportunity to confide in an adult. But it's not just about parents, it's about all adults. Teachers and people in the voluntary services, is everybody who has contact with children who should be thinking about this and learning about the experiences of victims and survivors. We can't just assume that it's an issue of parents. It isn't. It goes far beyond that. It's incumbent, in my opinion, on everybody in society.
And all too often, the parent is the abuser.
You know, that was the part I was going to go to next. That what about when the parent is the abuser? What can another adult do? That was what I was going to ask next.
And that might be the hardest situation because, like I said, they may an abused child will try to protect that parent.
Yeah.
Children who and adults who've been abused often have a sense of misplaced guilt. They also, of course, very often have a very strong attachment or bond to the abuser because the abuser may be a member of their family or very close to them. It may be a relative, it may be a parent, or it may be somebody else. And those bonds can be extremely powerful prevent the child from being able to speak out with ease. Very powerful dynamics at play when we have child abuse, sadly.
I know. Because I do have a friend of mine. She's a bit older than I am. I think she's what, maybe 10 years older than I am. So she's in her late 40s. And I think that you know, she possibly was emotionally abused by her mom, because, you know, now that she's in her 40s, I've never heard her say a good word about her mom. Like, literally, if you ever mention her mom, it was literally, she just goes off.
It's gone 5 o'clock, I'm afraid, and I know it's my fault that we've been very late starting this, but I've got to move on to my next port of call, as it were. So I'm going to have to, I'm afraid, leave you to carry on discussing these very important issues without me. Next week.
No, that's fine. We'll see you next week. But then should someone need to speak to you in the meantime, what can they do? Well, how can they get in touch with you?
They get in touch with me on my mobile telephone number, which is 07527329970. That's 07527329970. Or send me an email. The email address is Alan, A-L-A-N, dot Collins, C-O-L-L-I-N-S, at Hugh James, which is HUGHJAMES.com. So Alan.Collins at HughJames.com.
Perfect. Thank you. And we'll speak to you again next week.
Will do.
Nice Thank meeting you, Alan.
Take care, everybody. Bye.
Take care. Bye. Bye now. And he's out. Almost. Is he? Okay, I think he's almost gone. But yes, anywho's, do continue, Felicia.
Yes. Hello?
So
we
you
have
said
to build. We yeah, have to on. Build relationships with children.
Yeah.
So that they feel empowered to speak up for themselves.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, if it's a parent, they're going to try to protect that child, or the parent will you know, portray this child as a liar, a thief, yeah. sexually promiscuous.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, everyone will say anything this child says isn't true. Yeah. And this child will hold all of these things in. And they get to their 20s, 30s, 40s, and they're still dealing with it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's quite interesting, you know, what you said, because there's another group that I'm part of, right? And, I seem to be a part of loads of different groups, right? So there's a group that I'm a part of, you know, on Facebook that's literally focused, that's just a women's only group. And again, because again, you know, child abuse is quite an important theme, what a lot of the women in the group, they always sort of try to remind each other to do is to tell their children, you know, and they try not to discriminate between boys and girls, because again, as we know, it happens to both sexes. And, you know, they say that you should tell your children, like you said already, that, you know, do not let anybody touch you here, 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 and there, right? So this lady, yeah. she then wanted to share with us something that had happened. And so she goes, she says that, you know, her daughter followed her to work. So she lives abroad. And she needed to go into work on a Saturday. And she was supposed to be taking her kids to the park or something. So she thought she would stop by at work, you know, with her kids, sort out what she needed to do, and then go, right, you know, take them out for the day. So while she was in the office and the kids were sort of roaming around all over, right, her daughter then comes to her and says, Mama, you know what you said that I should not be afraid to tell you at any time? And the mom goes, yes, well, and then she points to a guy who was far away, just touched me on my bum bum.
Oh, oh.
Yes. And then the mom looks at him and then he goes, oh, he was like, oh no, I was just playing with her. And then the mom says to him, don't do that anymore. Okay. She's not here for that. And I think, you know, what everybody said to her, congratulations, was, I mean, some people were in the village, were like, you know, you should have just given him a dirty slap on his face, you know, to sort of reset his factory settings, because, you know, the child was not there for him. Why would he, you know, even go to touch the child anyway? But then the mom did address the issue and everyone was like, you know, well, congratulations. It was good of you for doing that, because you've addressed the issue in the presence of your child to make her know that, you know, if anything did happen, you will defend her. You will stand up for
exactly.
her. And you will not exactly. even go and think, oh, are you sure? Did it really happen? Are you telling me a lie? She just basically just dealt with it there because, you know, it needed to be done.
Good. Yes, exactly. And the child saw that she could speak up and something would be done.
Yes. You know, and she
and that's
was
very
I think,
important.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what everybody in the group was saying was that, you know, you need to start from an early age, you know, and tell them, you know, what is allowed, what isn't allowed. But again, I think, you know, sometimes, you know, we focus a lot on the abuse is bad. And, you know, most of the ones that, you know, that I've come across a lot of, you know, is the sexual abuse. But then if you speak to people, they'll tell you that there are loads of different types of abuse. You know, there is the, apart from the sexual one, there is the emotional abuse, and then there is the physical abuse. I mean, the physical abuse is more obvious to see, but then what a lot of people would not see is the emotional one and the amount of damage, you know, that it can do.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I think that would be more difficult to spot, though, because if a child was being abused even from before the child went into daycare or nursery, like you say in the UK, then whatever the child's behavior, it would be the norm to the people who don't know the child. So they might not then be able to gauge that it's actually because of something. But then I'm not an expert, you know. So, I mean, what do you think about, you know, the emotional side of things?
I'm not an expert either, but from situations that I've been in and people that I've known, there is a personality flaw. There's the low self-esteem. Again, they're withdrawn. I mean, because if someone's emotionally abusing you, they're constantly telling you that you're worthless, you have no value.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, they're not investing anything in you. And I'm not saying that every person with low self-esteem has been emotionally abused.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you see it in a child or a teenager, for me, it's a sign.
Mm. Mm.
When children think they have no value, there's a reason. Why? What happened to this child to think that they don't matter to anyone?
Yeah. Interesting. So, tell me about your book. Let's see how that panned out. What was the title again?
In the Best Interest of the Child.
Okay. So, and your character, the main character, the advocate, was Olivia. Did I remember correctly?
Yep, Olivia Chandler.
Oh, well, you know what? Baby brain isn't so bad. I thought I'd go through.
You're doing great.
So tell me, what was her story, you know, from you know, before we go into her, I think maybe if you do come again, we might go into the rest of the characters, but what was her initial story, you know, how was she emotionally abused, who identified it, you know, how was it identified for her?
Olivia had a perfect life. She was a 10-year-old. She had a perfect life. She had a father whom she adored, who talked to her, who explored with her, who taught her things. And he was an attorney, and she was a very well-adjusted child. Mm. And there was a car accident. Her father was killed, and her mother had what's called complicated grief disorder, and she withdrew. And she had to be committed because of that. And while all of this is going on, Olivia, who is also injured in the accident, is put into foster care because there's no living family. And her first situation with being abused was in foster care because the first foster family had three young daughters her age, and they would pinch her and kick her and call her names, and the parents did nothing about it. Mm, they thought she should be... Yes, they thought she should be grateful that they took her in. So then they think Olivia's mom is getting better and Olivia gets to go home, but her mom doesn't get better. She gets worse. And then Olivia becomes, you know, a permanent resident in foster care. And she gets some of the worst foster homes. She gets one good foster home, you know, out of 9 years. But she gets some of the worst foster care homes where people are in it for that monthly compensation. Yeah. That's the only reason they're doing it. And she's not, but she had a good foundation from her father. She was only 10 years old, but she knew right from wrong. She knew when people were mistreating her, but she also had a horrible social worker who had her own history who paid Olivia no attention.
Mm-hmm.
But Olivia's saving grace was that her mother did self-commit, so she didn't lose any of her rights or assets, so that when Olivia became of age, there was money for her.
Right.
And she went to college and became a child advocate attorney.
Interesting. So basically, was it just because she became an adult and that was how she just came out of the system?
Yes, she aged out.
Right, and then that was basically how the abuse stopped.
Exactly. But wow. She never, ever got counseling. No one ever let her grieve for her father. No one ever, you know, updated her on her mother's situation. She was just shuttled around from foster care home to foster care home until she aged out. Well, after the attempted rape, she went to a foster care facility, and that's where she aged out of the system.
Wow.
So during her childhood, it was never addressed.
Yeah. That's quite interesting because, you know, just sort of going by what you said, it reminded me of something. Now, again, like, you know, I've got baby brain and loads of things are just sort of flitting around in my memory. So I can't remember if it was a book. I can't remember if what I'm about to say is from a book that I read or a movie that I watched or someone told me. Well, I will just tell you the story anyway, but I cannot give credit to whoever it is, because I honestly can't remember. Baby brain. So just bear with me.
Okay, go right ahead.
We will assume that it was a film that I watched. Let's just assume it was a film that I watched, right?
Okay.
And this girl, she's been tossed around from foster home to foster home. And, you know, she then got to the very worst, you know, that was basically the last foster home. And apparently, because again, I'm not from America, so I don't really know how the foster care system really works over there. But apparently, that would be the last foster care home that she would go in. And if they returned her, she would then be sent to, I don't know, like a facility or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so basically, so the people who were this absolute horrible people, or I think the man, whoever, right? The owners of the foster the family where they had put her into, they basically said that she would have to deal with whatever crap they dished at her because they were her last chance.
Yes, yes.
And if she didn't, I mean, I don't know why people would be scared of the facility. So I mean, if the family were the worst, then I can only imagine that the foster facility is even worse. It's like a gazillion times worse than that, right?
Yeah.
So basically, they then brought in men who would pay for sex to sleep with her.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, if you tell anyone, they're going to take you away. And when they take you away, you're going to end up in a facility.
Mm-hmm.
And she had no choice to deal with that. So the foster carers were getting money off the state, but then also getting money from these I would just call them demons, right?
Yes.
They were paying money to go and sleep, you know, with this young girl who was less than 18 years old every single day, several times a day. And it was just something that just sort of, when you were talking about foster care, it just sort of triggered that memory of what I heard about. And I think, like, you know, you and Alan had said, you know, these people, they know the most vulnerable, that they know the weakest ones, and they take advantage of it. But I guess, you know, that's why, you know, the people who are the adults who are surrounding these children need to be a bit more vigilant. And I guess, you know, like, that's why, you know, in your book, Olivia was failed, because she had, you know, a really dodgy social worker.
Yes. The foster care system serves a good purpose. It exists for a good reason. Just in my opinion, it is poorly managed because in these times of budget cuts and downsizing, it's always one of the first agencies in any state to lose money. Mm. And so you have fewer social workers who can get out to see these kids in the homes that they live in. You have fewer social workers with less money to get these kids the services they need. They need psychological counseling. They need, they have PTSD. You know, they need some sort of rehabilitation and recovery. But when the money's not there, the kids are failed.
Yes, it's a really sad state of, you know, of things. I mean, the UK, you know, we're not immune to, you know, budget cuts and stuff. And, you know, I only wonder, you know, what's going to happen now that, you know, we're supposed to be leaving the EU. I mean, with the whole Brexit
yes
slogan going on, and you know, it's quite a worrying time, but hopefully we'll be able to bring some smiles and have fun and forget our worries, you know, in a month's time with the holidays coming up. But I'm hoping that, you know, hopefully anyone who's you know, in our virtual cafe with us having some coffee, two sugar, no milk, with, what did you call it, bear claw?
Bear claws, yes, you must have a bear claw.
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, hopefully they'll be able to get something, you know, from, you know, from everything that you and Alan have said, you know. So I guess, you know, the main takeaway is a child is acting out of character. You know, if a child is, you know, misbehaving, sometimes, you know, it just takes that person, you know, one person to just say, hey, how are you doing? I mean, even as adults, you know, we're dealing with lots of stress. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when I've got a friend, you know, who asks me, oh, how are you doing? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. But the friend doesn't just take that, you know, auto response. He then goes, no, I know you're fine, but no, seriously, how are you doing? You know, one person just almost emphasizes each word and it makes you just stop for a second.
Yes.
Yeah. Just think. And I think, you know, if as adults we appreciate someone just taking that time to say, really, how are you doing? Right? Then you can imagine the impact that it would have on a child's life, you know, if they feel like you actually genuinely care and are interested in knowing how they're doing.
Exactly. You know, and it's not just their behavior. You have to watch the behavior of the adults around them. If they're always trying to be around them, if it's a parent and they don't let them socialize with other children or let them go to sleepovers or all they do is go to school and go home, you have to watch the adults also.
Yeah. But you see, the thing you said about sleepovers, though, I'm not sure I'm a big fan of sleepovers now, because again, you can never really tell in that other family's life.
Exactly. I am from a very large family. There were six girls in my family. And I'm from very strict parents, and my father did not believe in sleepovers. And I was 16 years old before I went to my first sleepover with my best friend, but my family knew her family. But just with girls having, you know, birthday parties and you know, summer parties and sleepovers, we were not allowed to go. Because just like you said, my father, I don't know what's going on in their house. I'm not sending my girls into that situation.
Yes. And because, you know, that's the thing, though, because it's the people that, you know, because something that my mom says, right, you know, she was like, you know, when you're going to, my mom, very wise woman, God bless her soul, she's no more, right? She said to me, right, if you were ever going to think about getting married, right, because, you know, and she says, it is not just about the man, right?
No.
You need to look at his family.
Yes.
As a whole.
Yes.
Because if you don't look at his family as a whole, right, and they're people who have a strong influence in his life.
Yes.
And they don't particularly like you, they would make your life miserable.
Very wise. Very wise words. Yes.
Yes. So again, I think you can then relate that to, say, you know, another family. So maybe you might know one person in that family. So maybe that there's a family of, I don't know, maybe three boys and one girl, or one boy, one girl. You might know one child. You might know one parent. You know, you might know them, because again, people are good, you know, illusionists. You know, good people are good at acting. So you might know them in a very superficial way, but you don't really know what goes on behind closed doors. So sometimes, you know, that you might think that you know someone, but then you don't really know that person.
No.
And see, that's why me personally, I'm not a big fan. I've never had a sleepover until I think I went to university. You know, my parents did not even believe in it, so it was never even something that was subject to conversation to say, oh yes, let's go, you know, go have sleepover at someone else's house. That conversation never, it was just one of those things you know, not even bother asking.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, it's the same thing, though, because some people, you know, and you might say that, you know, if a child is being abused, that's possibly why the parent don't want to allow the child to go and socialize with other people. But then there's also the flip side where, you know, because the parent doesn't know what is going on in that other family's, household. For instance, I've heard of situations where, a child, maybe a mom, sends her child to go and stay with her sister because she's having some problems and she needed a break and says, go and stay with my sister, right? But then one of the male nephews then abuses her own child.
Yes, yes.
So this is supposed to be family.
Yes, and that happens all too often. I worked with a woman for 12 years and I did not know. And I consider myself a very aware person, but I worked with her for 12 years and did not know that her husband was physically abusing her regularly.
Wow.
And it was the last time that he abused her was when I found out was when she was hospitalized.
Wow.
And we had worked side by side, gone out to lunch, done everything, and I had no idea. She never spoke badly of him. She was always, doing things for him. He was always pleasant when he came around. No one knew.
Yeah.
No one knew. So imagine if an adult can do that, how a child's going to internalize it.
Yes. Yeah.
And some of the best actors in the world are children. They see what you see what they want you to see.
Yes. I know it's a really sad state of things. But I guess today's takeaway that I'm just going to, like someone told me once that I'd never realized, like, is like, what's it called? The break the fourth wall. Sort of say that, if you ever see a child, even if you do not suspect anything, is to literally just say to that child, hello, how are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And say, look, if you are ever in problem, if you're ever in trouble, if you need anything, just ask me. Feel free to come and confide in me.
And it may take you doing that several times because you've got to build up trust.
Yes.
That child has no reason to trust anyone.
Yeah.
So you've got to build up a relationship of just asking, how are you doing?
Yes.
If you want to talk, let me know. And like I said, it may take several times.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. But, okay, well, my little human is saying all done. All done is her cue word to say, yes, okay, whoever I'm talking to needs to go away.
Yeah, it's over now.
So she's basically giving me the cue that, yes, you need to go away now.
I gotta listen to the boss.
she's the boss now. What's the time? It's going on 5:30, so she needs to have another snack before dinner time.
Okay.
Because it's been a miserable cold and wet day. Very wet in London today it is.
Well, it's still morning here in Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, lucky you guys. Is that one of the places that you guys get lots of sunshine?
Yes, I'm sitting on the patio talking to you.
Oh gosh, I hate you. Right, you can go away now. Sunshine, what's that? I don't think I've seen the sun in a while. It's been cloudy the last few days.
It actually rained last night, but like I said, it was last night. I think I even put a picture of a double rainbow on Instagram.
Ooh.
But it rains, and then an hour later, the ground is dry, and we're back to sunshine.
No, don't worry. I'm offering you no sympathy whatsoever. You get no sympathy whatsoever.
Okay, okay, okay.
Well, Nate, before we say all done, right, remind us again about your book. So if anyone's listening and they want to go and find out about this amazing Olivia, what's her last name again?
Chandler.
Hey Chandler, what's the title of the book again?
It is In the Best Interest of the Child, and you can find out more about it on my website, FeliciaDenise.com.
Okay, so is that D-E-N-I-S-E?
Yes.
Okay.com. Perfect. Well, it's been absolutely amazing. We've had lots of fun, and it's been great chatting with you.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. And hopefully you'll stop by again in our cafe, and maybe you'll bring some other funky American snack that you want and that we don't know anything about.
I'll bring you apple fritters next time.
Okay, that's not bad. That's not bad. At least you know what that is. Okay then, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, everyone. This is me trying to sound all really posh. It's been an absolute amazing time having all of you here. And hopefully we'll have Alan again back next week. And, you know, he came late yet because, you know, he's a lawyer and these people are very, very busy. And then he had to go for his next appointment. But hopefully I can have him back again next week. Felicia, can we expect to have you back on the show sometime in the next
week? Sure.
Would be absolutely amazing as well. Everything's absolutely amazing to me. Well, everyone, I will see you again next week, and hopefully next week, let's see. So we've talked about the signs and how to identify, you know, a child who's been abused and what you can do to help. And then hopefully next time, but again, we never can tell or plan how the show goes, but hopefully next time we'll talk about, you know, how to get justice you know, for a child who's been abused, because sometimes you need to just feel like, you know, what's the word? Is it restitution? Or, you know, you've gotten justice for what's happened to you to allow you to move forward, you know?
At least acknowledgement.
Yes, you know, so hopefully we'll cover that next week. But until then, ciao, bye now.
Take care, bye.
Bye.